play wicked beats.
And then we're gonna have them ask you a few questions themselves. So my first question for you is, when you think of the word professional, what do you think about? What is it in your opinion? What does it take to be a professional?
I mean, you gotta obviously reach the highest levels of what you're representing, whether it's art or anything. For us, obviously, it's b-boying, so you want to be a pro level b-boy, but you want to stay fresh and true to the culture and represent what this movement is really about, right? And that's about the lifestyle and the dance being a passion and not just something that you do to try and gain notoriety or fame, but it's about representing the movement of breaking and hip-hop and the lifestyle and the culture.
Word. And so I'm gonna play devil's advocate. And so how would you suggest to these guys, all right, or anybody coming up, is when we're hearing these things about staying true to the culture and staying fresh, but when the contest circuit, maybe in the big state circuit, is kind of dictating something differently, and I feel like that can be confusing to like the newer heads. Like, you're telling me to dance, but a lot of the contests are being won by, you know, machines, blow-ups and blow-ups and combos or whatever. So how would you, or what would you suggest to people to do?
At this point, it's a little bit different. I think breaking has evolved into a competition-based dance, unfortunately, and it's sad as well, but there's still people and enough people involved in the scene that represent the other side of the competitive. I think it's good to understand both worlds. I think you really have to dig into the just dancing at parties, go to clubs and just dance and learn the environment of dance culture and just people that really dance and not do competitions. You can go to a club and hit cyphers with people that probably never entered a contest, and they'll smoke you because they're just natural dancers and have natural talent that they don't worry about highlighting themselves at a big tournament or a big event. So on that side, I feel that it is important as a dancer, a true dancer, not just somebody that prepares themselves for one contest, but as a dancer yourself in these places, or just even go get the vibe or go and just check out these environments where there's no end reward. People are just dancing because they love the music and this is what they truly like to do on their time off or their chance to highlight their talent in cyphers and these environments. But if in the breaking side, you want to go to events that don't have contests, because this is where you actually just get to connect with people and not worry about who's winning what round or what battle, what call the judges made, but you're actually getting to interact with people in the cyphers and people that are just there to just dance. And unfortunately, a lot of the scene, when you have these events, they don't support them as much. But I think they're important to still exist because we have to have balance. And you can't not have this part of breaking without having the contest, because this is where a lot of the development and lessons in your dance will come from, is this. You're not really going to gain so much knowledge of all around breaking if you just go and enter a contest when you've been breaking for 1 or 2 years. You will learn more going to a cypher event and actually battling people that you see in cyphers and testing yourself, because then you know that, okay, he did something that I don't have and something I've never seen before. Or when you go to a contest, you're going to just go in there and see the craziest moves right away. And it can be discouraging seeing that level, but inspiring at the same time, because you know that that's possible to reach. So in a way for me at this point, you have to find balance in understanding the dance and the just the cultural aspect of it, but understand where the competition realm stands. And if this is something that you're interested in and you want to pursue breaking to reach these levels of competition, you have to mix both worlds. And usually people that are good at doing that, I feel, stand out a lot more than the guys that just strictly, you know, go to the contest and win the contest. Yes, you could win a few contests if you develop all these big moves and do the stuff that everybody else is doing. Of course, you'll win a few contests, but you won't last long. Eventually, that style will fade and then the next wave will come. So it's about longevity as well, and I think you will develop and understand the craft much more in depth if you take your time to learn the culture and the roots of it.
That's a dope perspective, because that made me think of, like, you're always going to be chasing the next style if you don't do it, if you don't develop. You're always just chasing the next trend kind of thing. And you never.
Yeah, and I mean, think about the last 25 years or 20 years in breaking, how many people we've seen come and go, and how many styles of breaking have come and gone, but yet those that understand the culture and what this dance represents from our past are the ones that in many ways have remained timeless throughout these generations of trends that have come and gone.
Dope. And just so you know, like, I'm not asking you a lot of the basic stuff because they had homework and they did a bunch of research on you. So I'll send you the stuff that they dug up so you can see what people are digging up. Up there. I'm gonna ask you one more and then I'm gonna pass it on to them. Do you see a difference between a breaker and a break dancer, or a b-boy, b-girl, sure, and a break dancer?
For sure. I mean, anybody that grew up in the 90s, and I think today's time, there's a lot of misrepresentation with terminologies, specifically coming from hip hop and street culture, and specifically b-boy culture and breaking culture in general. Everybody wants to be in some ways politically correct and saying breaking and this. And the reason we had these terms was to understand that there was knowledge in the game, right? A breakdancer is somebody that finds breaking and does it just to do the generic stuff, does the worm, does all these corny moves at the club or in the music videos.
I like the worm, bro.
I don't like the worm. So to me, that's a breakdancer. Somebody that just does it on the most shallow surface of the movement, right? They just learn the move to be like fame, commercials, and all that stuff.
So
then you have your breakers. Your breakers are guys that are into just the dynamics, have no style. They're just into doing the moves that are hot, trendy stuff. They might have some skill at some of that stuff, but they don't really care about the culture. They don't care about originality. They don't care about the fashion style of hip hop and breaking. A b-boy and a b-girl are the true manifestations and representation of what a hip hop head is. Somebody that represents the culture, the lifestyle, the fashion, creating your own style, innovating your own movement, looking fresh when you dance, and just being an all-around embodiment of what a hip-hop head is to me, you know, and that's how I grew up understanding those terms. And it's not to discriminate on anybody, but that's why we have b-boys and b-girls, because we're not trying to kick anybody out or leave anybody out. It's made for everybody, no discrimination, none of that stuff. So to me, when I hear the arguments today about we need to name it breaking, yes, for the masses, but you still have your b-boys and b-girls, you know, and there's no separation. It is what it is to me.
Beautiful.
But I think it's important to understand that.
Dope. All right, first question. Don't all rush at once, and don't get all shy on me all of a sudden. Oh, because you're going to come on. Who's first? Trouble, let's go.
Here's my question. So, hello.
Hello.
Sure. My name is Michaela.
Hi, Michaela.
My question is, how would you describe your experience at Red Bull BC1? With that, how long did you train? What were your ways of, like, preparing for it? How did you feel before and after?
Okay, this is for 2011 or just in general?
In general.
Yeah, because he got years. He can fill out which one.
I know. I looked at his timeline.
In general, I mean, for BC1, coming from the era or just the generation I come from, the BC1 represents almost like the Super Bowl, breaking, that big event, the WrestleManias, the big events. It's almost like you're having a heavyweight championship fight for a big title. So in that, there's nothing like it in the world. The hype, the anticipation, when you walk on the stage, the energy, the aura, just how you feel in the moment, there's nothing like it in any other event. And I think that's what makes it special. For it, though, specifically to prepare for something like that, I mean, it takes all the years that you've been breaking, right? You've been breaking for, say you've been breaking for 5 years. It's taken you 5 years of development, practice, dedication, like battling in different contests. All that is the buildup, and that's preparing you for something like BC1. Of course, when you've been breaking for as long as I've been breaking now, and somebody hits me up to do BC1, my mindset changes because I do this for a living, right? I have to kind of take time away from jobs and traveling to sit down and prepare for this like a fight almost. So in that sense, what I do is I just make sure that I start at a light weight. I do 4 to 5 days of practice, but the early months of practice, I would say I give myself around a three-month training period. The first month and a half, 2 months are just development practices where there's no real agenda at practice other than enjoying my movement, finding movement, being creative, not forcing myself to do 100 rounds of footwork and then 100 push-ups. You know, I can do the workouts outside of my breaking and keeping them minimal, but my breaking is about development because I want to try and have as many small or new detailed moves that are new for the judges or just for people that are going to be watching me to be surprised. When I get into the last month of training, what I start doing is I start incorporating all these new moves and sparring my rounds. So which means it's like I spar my rounds, which means that I battle myself with time rounds for around 18 rounds a night just to see how good I can remember my moves. Because a lot of the moves that I have, I'm just freestyling and I just kind of incorporate them as I feel. So I want to feel as natural as possible leading up to the BC one. So for something like that, those are the things that I do to prepare myself. In the end, it is just another contest. You've battled many of the same people in other battles and beat them with less on the line, but the BC one just magnifies and really makes everything way more intense. And that's what the special thing about it is. I mean, for me, if anybody gets to experience that or gets the chance to battle at a BC one, I would say take it. There's nothing like it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, who's next? Come on. Take this man's time. Come on. Oh, man. Everybody's scared now.
There we go.
Hey, I'm Jay. So I want to ask, because you touched on, my face is, there we go. I want to touch on longevity, because you talked about it. So I want to know how, in your opinion, how one can contribute to the culture, because, you know, not everybody's going to be a B-boy or B-girl in the future, because, you know, some people are, a bunch of us are in college. Actually, all of us are in college. You know, we're going to college, we're going to get jobs. But, you know, what do you think how we can, the best way we can just contribute to the culture while we have our jobs and while we have our families? Because we have, like, a lot of people who get, become family man or salary man, just kind of quit breaking. So how we can just keep contributing to the culture?
I mean, to contribute is just to pass on what you've learned about it, right? So it's having an educated, I guess you would say, just having some sort of education in this, understanding where it came from, what it is, and being able to share that and not just be somebody that sees breaking as this thing that is done in music videos or at parties. You know, this is something that has surpassed the 80s, that has survived all these different times when they got turned down and pushed away from society. So now it is at a point where it's being more accepted. So if you're learning about it, it's about having respect for it and understanding it and sharing that. If you want to be involved still and contribute in different ways, I mean, it depends what you're doing for work. I mean, we do need B-boys that can help us learn about things that we lack in the scene, right? We don't know how to deal with agencies. We don't know how to really represent ourselves to big corporations. We don't know the things that you need to, you know, write a proper treatment. There's different things that as B-boys and B-girls, we can learn from people that have gained higher education. And your way would, if you're wanting to be involved, is to provide these services to people in the scene. Almost, that's another way that you can contribute, you know? And we need lawyers, we need doctors, we need people that are from the scene to grow out and educate themselves and grow more. And they can share those things to the community and educate us, but also they can educate their surroundings about what we represent. So there's many different ways, but yeah, that's a way to contribute to the scene and support it, of course.
That's good.
Hello, Lily.
Hello. My question for you is, I was watching a lot of your videos on like YouTube and like the internets, and you have a lot of like control in your breaking. And I was wondering like what you do to like help develop that control in your breaking.
Well, for me, it's just been years and years of practice. When I look at the way that I practice and develop a lot of the movements that I have and utilize, what I would do is I would learn the move by itself. So a lot of times we dance and practice, and just when you're breaking in general, you're breaking such a fast moving dance that you're constantly just moving from one step to the next step to the next step, that you don't really sit down and take the time to just stop and learn each move by itself. And that's something that I teach as well. For example, for my freezes, what I would do is me and my friends would do a thing called the freeze game, where we would do a combination of freezes and make the other guy do the same combination, but add to it. But you would have to hold each freeze and make it visible for me to see. So these type of exercises really help me develop control and stability in my freezes, and also just to have that kind of control to transition my body from high levels to lower levels, to power moves, back to freezes, back up and down. Those are the type of exercises that really help me establish that. At first, when you're first developing all of that, it's really difficult, it's really hard. You never really feel too comfortable, but you have to start at the lowest level, right? You have to start where you're most comfortable, and from there you go into the uncomfortable and start breaking those barriers. But yeah, that's something that has really helped me, is holding each position or learning each move by itself.
And I think you have some instructional videos online. I think I saw on that, right?
Yeah.
Was it on your channel or?
Yeah, a lot of it's on my channel, yeah. And so they put some, I did one for Red Bull Dance, Dance Connect, which is a channel that they have called Red Bull Dance. And we had online tutorials there, and we break down a little bit more stuff on that too.
So,
thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Step up, come on. Well, I could ask questions all day, y'all, but I'm a nerd.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Nice to meet you. I have two questions, right? So one of them is it's how long did it take you for you to believe that your name fit your style? And another one is how do you keep yourself motivated through all these years?
Okay. Well, to develop confidence in what I did and believe in myself or what I was doing, that took a little while. It took me around 4 years to somewhat understand that I actually had something to offer in the way that I was moving or bringing, or the way I danced, right? That it represented something special. It took a while. It took 4 or 5 years for me to have somewhat an understanding or a belief that, okay, this is actually something that I can keep pushing. And with that, you really have to just be practicing all the time and really constantly repeat that so you start to feel more natural in the way you're moving. And sorry, the second question, can you repeat that one again?
Well, how you're saying how you just have to keep on practicing, how do you keep yourself motivated to keep on practicing?
For motivation, there's many different ways. The number one thing that inspires me is music. That's one of the main things that I do, is I always try to find new music to break to, because music's what's going to move you to dance and express yourself and give you the energy or just that vibe to want to let go and, you know, let all the movement that you've been practicing, you got to let that out at some point. Or you might have a stressful day and you use dance as a way out to let that energy out, that negative energy that you've built up. But music is what's going to push you to want to have that type of moment. That's one of the elements that really helps me stay motivated and dancing for so long. The other one is going back to my old footage, because I've been dancing so long now, I have to go back and look at stuff that where I look back and see movements or ideas that maybe I forget about. And it's motivating to see that, because then I'm trying to challenge myself to incorporate them into the way that I'm moving today. And those are some of the things that I use for motivation, as well as watching battles. Sometimes I watch old battles more than anything, because the era and time period that I developed my dance, I just really connected with it. And those battles for me were very special. So I go back and watch those battles to get inspired and to push myself to higher levels. Also something that helps me gain motivation and consciousness as to where I'm at is writing stuff down in terms of what you've done. For example, when I look back and when I kept track of winning 100 wins, when I went back and wrote down the list, I actually saw all the battles that I could have done and didn't do, right? Even at points when I was being very successful in the competitive world, I kind of held myself back a lot when I think about it, even though I won a lot. is like, it puts things in perspective, and it gave me a different understanding and motivated me to push myself even today, which was really cool. So there's many different ways to find motivation, but within breaking, those are the things that I do. Outside of breaking, I just like to do photography, video, and I like to interact with people that are in different fields, from sports to art to music, and just connecting with those people, you get different perspectives on how to evolve yourself in what you do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think part of our other question, Rox, was that how did you feel comfortable with your name once you got your name? How did you feel comfortable with that name fitting you?
Okay, that's what I couldn't hear. Yeah, my name, actually, at first I didn't like it. It was given to me by my mentor. And, you know, I felt weird about it at first. I didn't really get it. But as time went on, I started to actually appreciate the name more, because it meant something that was actually really cool and it stood out to me. So when I look at it, it's a timeless name and a timeless word. Terminology is one. Hip hop, when you look back at the old MCs, in like Slick Rick, he used the rhyme like "rock the mic right," like way back in the 80s. And to hear that is like, yo, you rock right, you represent right. It's a term that has been around for a long time, but we're using it in today in a b-boy way, and it's to rock right, rocks right. And it grew on me, and I started to appreciate it more after around 8 years of breaking. I even tried to change my name 5 years in. I was like, yo, horrible idea.
All right.
Yeah. It's just gonna be kind of awkward wording. Hi. Okay, so because you battled so often, like my tendency is to use the same moves, how did you what were ways that you were creative in bringing new moves to your own style throughout your career?
Yeah, I mean, I try to limit myself to around one battle a month. So I had a good amount of time to come up with new ideas. And since I was practicing so often, I always had different moves that I didn't use. And prior to competition, I had been breaking for 3.5 years without ever entering a contest. So when I take a lot of those moves that I never used in battles, I would just go back and dig up old ideas and translate them to that time that I was competing in. So I always try to have at least an old forward concept, a new transition, a small new freeze, or something unique that hadn't been used. And I would try to utilize those things in the early rounds of the tournaments to surprise people and throw people off as to what I was going to do next. And that's, to me, what kept battling exciting. And those are the things that I did to stay creative and not try and do the same exact set at every event, even though it happens sometimes because I got lazy. I think everybody goes through that, but yeah, those are the things that I was doing.
So Rox, how would you question is, so what would be the road, and I know there's not one road, but I want to become a Red Bull BC1 all-star. What is the road? What are the kind of things that, what's a path that someone could take? What are some of the general universal ingredients that someone
have to have? The general universal idea of that, and I mean, I was one of the creators of the team, and I was one of the people that was involved in getting people down for a little while, like in terms of having a voice or expressing of people that we should look out for. Basically, to me, and my belief in the way that we established that group was to take people that are influential, individuals that are influential, not somebody that could win a crew battle, but we're talking about individuals that dominate, individuals that have regional impact. You got people that want to break like you, people that look up to you. You're leaving your mark at events worldwide. You're able to beat the best people. You're leaving your mark through that. But on top of that, you also have a good understanding on how to share your knowledge. So there's a bunch of different aspects. So it's not just about winning BC1 for me, it's about you killing it on a worldwide level, right? When Menno became an all-star. He became an all-star after he won, but I had suggested his name a year and a half prior when he lost in Korea in the first round to Hong Sen. I had actually already suggested him to be an all-star because he was winning everything and he already was becoming that person that was like dominating the scene and leaving impact everywhere he went. He was making noise for himself. And I felt that that was very valuable to bring to something like the All-Stars because you want to have an all-around group and not just one-trick ponies, right? You want to have the best of the best and dudes that are beyond just the floor. And you want people that are figures outside of breaking, but in breaking as well. So there's no necessarily real roadway, but the best way you could do is just go one step at a time, climb up the ranks, win, be the best in Arizona, be the best in the Southwest, be the best in the States, be the best in the Western Hemisphere, go international, you know, build your rep, connect with the scenes and all around the world and just leave an impact. You know, it's just one step at a time and it takes time. I don't know if you could do it in 2-3 years, but I would say it's something that you want to dance to dance and you want to represent this movement just for what it is. And if it leads you to that, then it leads you to that, you know. But I would say just do what you do because you love it. And if it could get you to this position or into a place some to join something like the All-Stars, then you've done something that I think would be something to be happy about or a feeling of accomplishment.
Who had the question about the life lesson? Come on, dude. I think it leads up to this.
So I was just wondering what kind of life lessons did breaking teach you?
Well, it taught me a lot, almost everything I know. Self-discipline for sure. Self-education on many levels because I had to go, you know, with breaking, breaking was never in schools when I grew up and it was already frowned upon where I grew up. So it was almost looked at as a gang-related dance. So a lot of the schools didn't really accept us. So we had to prove ourselves to that. And with that, that really taught me to, you know, educate myself on how to present this dance, but also how to educate myself about my culture, where I come from, what I represent. It made me more self-aware. And it just gave me an independent mindset because nothing's going to be given to breaking, right? Already right off the bat, you're already thought about as an 80s dance. So for me, it's like, I'm going to educate myself on how to promote this dance, how to do this, how to do that. It taught me a lot of things that I feel you can apply on all aspects of life. And it taught me a lot about the world, you know, geography, cities, countries, cultures, music. I mean, everything, fashion, all around. It's taught me about everything just through dance.
Thank you.
Educator.
Dar, you got anything you want to ask? Take back to the village. Come on. You're a leader. This is Dart. Dart's he runs the Sun Devils Breaking Club here on campus. And
he's been doing nice. What's up, man?
That's right. I'm a big fan. I'm kind of just curious. What do you feel like the difference is between like being in like squadron versus like Red Bull BC1 All Stars? Because I know those are like two different big things, and I'm just kind of wondering what it's like being in both.
Yeah, I mean, Squadron started off in many ways as almost the descendants or just people that were left still representing legendary crews, right? We have guys that come from Renegades, guys that come from Skill Methods, Floor Lords, Unique Styles, Mind 180. So you have a bunch of dope crews, and at a certain point, they kind of they weren't as active. So the members that were active, we all got united. We had the same kind of vision and we felt that we represented something in this dance that needed to be carried on. And with that, we were somewhat in a way, we were a super crew of course, and we just wanted to represent breaking in a raw way. And Mex with Biggest and Baddest helped support that and provide that by sponsoring some of us and sending us around the world. And that was something special, you know, and it has grown almost into its own real crew, because now we have to deal with each other on a daily level, on a daily basis, and everybody has their own agendas and they got their own things going on. With the All-Stars, it's more of a profession in terms of you have everybody doing this at the highest level, and this is what they do. Where Squadron, you got guys that don't rely strictly on the scene to survive. Everybody in Red Bull is relying on their endorsements and going around to events and competing and judging as their way of income. So the Red Bull BC One team is more, it has become completely almost a corporate thing where it's a job for some of us, right? Everybody has to show up. And now with the teams that they're creating now, before there was a bit of chemistry, now it's more about, okay, we're going to send these three guys to this battle. Y'all, you know, if y'all win, this is what's expected. It's changed a lot. So now it's really like a sponsorship, like a real corporate endorsement, which isn't bad. It's a great thing. And the All-Stars are growing into this big, just like a super team, you know, and it's a great opportunity for anybody that gets a chance. So with both, I think that there's definitely a difference. You know, one's more like the lifestyle and culture, and the other one is you got guys that live by that as well, but it's also more of a corporate backing, so it makes it a little bit different. The one thing that I will say about the Red Bull is that everybody has mutual respect for one another. And that is very important when you're at that level of an endorsement and a corporation, because Red Bull is, you know, such a huge company. And to have a company back so many individuals in a dance that's not really supported by the corporations. So the fact that everybody can get along and work together and really build together, that's something that's really special. And being a part of that for me it's been a great learning experience.
Roxbite, we're coming down on a little bit of time. What's your take on the Olympics?
I'm divided. I'm supportive in terms of it happening, because I feel that this is a great way for us to really utilize something like the Olympics to present us and the people that have been involved in the scene to utilize it as something that we can present to the world, right? And it's going to get more recognition, more opportunity for us, more opportunity for up-and-coming people, and just being able to have that kind of appreciation for the dance, I think it'll help elevate that. On the other side, it could be a double-edged sword, because there's many different things that could happen with it. It could be misled, it could be misrepresented at the same time. So those are my concerns with it, is just that I just hope that the right people are going to stay involved, because the moment that they're not involved, I feel that things can fall apart and people could just get thirsty for money, and they can really make some big, big mistakes and cause us and push us backwards instead of going forward. So those are some of the things, and I just really hope that the dancer gets to benefit from it. Even though a lot of Olympic gold medalists necessarily don't do their discipline as a profession, I just hope that the B-boys can somewhat utilize the Olympics as a way to get more endorsements and provide for themselves, and more companies becoming aware of breaking and being able to use breaking as something more than it has been used for. So those are the things that I hope really can come from it.
Yep. What else, guys? I ask questions all day long. I've talked to Rockstar all day. Go ahead, Dark. What do you think about Hannibal versus Heat Rock?
I thought it was cool. It was I saw a little bit of it. I haven't fully watched everything, but it's just two different styles of playing with music. You know, you got Heat Rock, who comes from a popping background, and he's developed a lot of footwork. So he utilizes that to his advantage, and the understanding of music, I feel, as coming from the popping side, is a little different than the B-boy. But then on the B-boy side, I feel like Hannibal just has more form and more maturity in the way he breaks. So to me, it was a good little exchange of moves and ideas. But yeah, it was cool. Different. it's another, I mean, for me, it's another battle because I've seen so many. So it, to me, it was just like, I can appreciate that. That was pretty tight. But you're talking to somebody that's been around for a long time and seen crazy, crazy battles.
What year did you start breaking rocks?
95. January 95.
Sub 4?
Sub 4, state of B-boys for Elements.
Word. Is there any regrets that you have?
Man, let me see, that's a hard one. I mean, in some ways, I mean, I got to where I'm at because everything played out the way it was supposed to. But if there was any regrets, it would just be not attending certain events that I feel I could have experienced a lot sooner, or certain things, like going abroad at a younger age. I had the chances to, I just never did it. When I won some of the biggest events, I hid myself in the shadows and I didn't go to events for a little while. Like when I won the UK champs, instead of building more on that momentum, I didn't go to jams for like 2-3 months.
Why?
I had a job and I just kind of shy away from that kind of stuff at that time. I mean, even now I still do that, but I don't know. I felt like it was, there's something big. Let me just enjoy this and hide out. And then you do my regular day routine of working. At the time I was delivering pizzas. So I went and won UK champs. I came back, delivered pizzas on Monday, Monday through Friday. And I just stayed doing that, you know, and I just didn't really want to go out there and battle for a little bit. And, you know, I guess I felt the pressure. Like with winning something so big at that time, it was like, the expectation level rose through the roof and people, I don't know, I just felt I didn't want to deal with that pressure at that time. And same thing when I won BC1, after I won BC1, now it's like the level of expectations is like way higher. And all I did was just do what I normally do and just represent me at the highest level that day, you know? So that's one regret I have, is maybe holding back from 2005. And actually killing my momentum in 2006, I felt I had built up a lot of momentum and I decided to quit my job overnight for an opportunity at doing a tour in LA, which was, when I look back at it, it was the biggest lesson, but I regret doing that because it set me back like 4 months of, or actually half a year of potential opportunities that I could have took with dancing more and got different kinds of connections worldwide. Instead, I just kind of like, throw it all away for a potential tour job. So yeah, those are some of them.
Hollywood got you, huh?
A little bit, yeah.
The dangle, the little Erico? It's a character.
That was Wicked. I blame Wicked, no. That's my fault. I took the shot at it. But also, I think, you know, one regret also is not involving one of the first kids I started breaking with. He was really, like me and him were like learning everything neck and neck, and he was definitely very talented. And I regret not involving him more when I moved to another town because he had potential, and I thought maybe bringing him or inviting him to practice with me more would have helped him. But I think that's one regret I have, is not maybe reaching out to that person more and involving him more, continuing to practice with him on a constant basis. I think he would have been somebody that could have blossomed and grew into something special and breaking.
So how important do you think having a mentor is?
I mean, today is different, but I thought it was very, for me, it was the best thing that could ever happen. I learned so much from my mentors. I give credit to two people to really mentor me. One is Ground Level, and he taught me about hip hop, the lifestyle and culture, because up to that point I had only seen Beat Street and Breaking and read a few books. But he taught me, for somebody that was already living it and wasn't not just doing breaking for moves, but he was about having style, having the fashion, and understanding this beyond the dance and making you self-conscious and just giving you knowledge of something much deeper than the moves. So he played that role. And then Zulu Gremlin, who really mentored me in terms of a deeper understanding, a broader history lesson, and really helped me understand how to pursue this as a profession. So those two people were my mentors, and I learned a lot. I mean, from Gremlin, he edited his own videos. He produced his own product. He threw his own events. I mean, you got a guy that is a jack of all trades, taking the time to share his knowledge on something that I was really passionate about. And just, you know, just sitting in a room with him or just traveling with him around the world were the biggest lessons. And that's probably the best mentorship I could ever ask for, you know. So I think they're very important.
We have a couple of minutes left. Any other ones, guys? Do what? Your biggest struggle.
My biggest struggle? Damn, there's a lot. But I guess I would say just self-doubt, you know, doubting yourself a lot, because there's no right way or guided way to succeed in this, you know. Breaking is something that you venture into on your own. You pick it up on your own. Your parents aren't taking you to practice. Your parents aren't taking you to the battles. You're out there learning it on your own. So for me, there was always like self-doubt. So like, am I good enough to do this, or can I do this? Or when you get to certain points of it, become even your profession, like, is this the right direction? Am I doing this? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And I think those things obviously come from my upbringing and, you know, being an immigrant and your parents having a certain level of expectations to reach certain status levels in society. For me, I feel that that created a lot of self-doubt in what I was doing. And in many ways, that's why I was shied away from a lot of the opportunities of pushing this even further out.
Or how much of a difference, is there a difference between Roxwright and Omar?
Not much. I feel like Roxwright can be whenever I get upset or I'm in battle, then the alter ego comes out, and that's the, you know, the just a different side of me, like the fighting side, the one that has to prove something. Like, usually I'm just more quiet and chill, but the sleeping giant wakes up and is like, time to slam, you know, time to knock everything out and like destroy everything in sight. And I guess that's the that's the difference. It's more chill, more relaxed, and then Rockstar is the fighter, the competitor, the one that's gonna, the alter ego of defending Omar.
Yo, are you something similar to that? All right, any last questions, guys, before we let him go? Go ahead, brother.
If you throw dudes in a cipher, could you throw them in a battle?
If you throw a move in a cipher, can you throw it in a battle as well? Like in a contest, you mean? Like, can you repeat the move, like something that you did in a cipher into a contest?
For sure. You should always do that. You should always bring whatever you do in ciphers into competitions. Just let it, try to make it feel as natural as possible. Obviously, if you do something in a cipher that you really like, never be afraid to utilize that on the stage or in the contest, because those type of things, whether they're small or big moves, sometimes they, for me, when I do something dope in a cipher, it gives me confidence. So if it's going to give me confidence in a cipher, I need to be confident when I'm on a stage. And the moment you start losing confidence on the stages, that's when you start losing yourself. So you really need to try and bring those moments or those type of energies and vibes from a cipher to the contest. One example I like to use is, I don't know if you guys found a battle with Monster Energy versus Renegade, the Style Elements. I did a move that just kind of happened in the moment, but that became possible because I did that in a cipher by accident. So in that battle, I did a one-handed elbow freeze and I got stuck. And then I went backwards and caught myself with my other hand and did an air chair pointing at Monster Team. The month before that, I was in a cipher just throwing myself around, experimenting with ideas, and I actually did a variation of that from a different freeze. So I did a halo, and I stopped myself in a forearm freeze that I do here, like this, and then I stuck myself there, and then I rolled back the other way and caught myself in the air chair. Had I not done something like that in a cipher, I wouldn't have known that it was possible to do. So when I got stuck in that elbow freeze against gravity, I was like, oh, shit, okay. This goes right into that move that I uncovered a month earlier. And that's actually the only time I've ever used that move. Yeah, I've never done it since. So sometimes when you create something in a cipher, you can change it up enough to do it in a contest, and sometimes it'll just come out in a different way. So I would suggest definitely do that.
And I don't know if this is what you meant, but would you, because you did that a month earlier, but would you do the same run that you did in a cipher that same day in the contest?
No, I just utilize similar concepts that I developed. So if I'm ciphering and I find moves I like, I just take little pieces of them and use them in the contest. But I never try to do the same exact round from a cipher to a contest, because you're basically trying to just duplicate something that you did based on the moment, and you're trying to drop it in a contest, then you're trying to perfect it when it's not meant to be perfect.
Word. Any last words of wisdom, brother?
I mean, you guys just enjoy what you do. Learn about breaking, and if this is something that you really want to get into or you want to pursue further, don't rush through it. You know, take your time, educate yourself, learn about it, and really find yourself in dance and expressing yourself to the music. Dance to music you like, but at the same time, acknowledge history and recognize where this movement comes from, the struggles it's gone through, so that way you know where you can take it and elevate it to.
Word. Anything else? All right, bro. Again, can't thank you enough, man. I appreciate you taking out the time, bro. I appreciate you dropping these gems on us. You know, we're doing the same thing where, you know, I try to look at this academic world as a brand new cipher and a brand new jam that we have to take over. And like you said, to, you know, I'm probably not going to be a Red Bull BC1 champion anytime soon. Maybe not. You never know. I might be like,
you know,
but, so, you know, like they said, it's finding ways to contribute in other ways. So I appreciate taking out the time for this. We have this documented now, so I'll reach out to you and see if we want to share this otherwise. But you know, congratulations on everything, man. Super proud of you representing out there. You know, you're the general, you're always killing it. You're always doing it correct. You were one of the people that I definitely wanted to have on here, because you have that balance between the competitive world and still keeping everything super fresh and super organic at a jam. So
thank you.
Number love and respect to you. I already know that, bro.
Thanks, man. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. Yeah,
no doubt, man. We'll have you back again. I'll bug you again, man.
Sure, man. Sounds good.
All right.
All right, guys. Take care. Nice talking to you guys.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
All right, you up, bro.
All right, for sure. Peace. B-boy wicked beats. Like this. Breaking bread. B-boy house. 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 One love to the homie B-boy house. Breaking bread podcast show. Here we styles. Yeah.